Hello, it's Tuesday, December 13th, and you're listening to Wing Radio. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing Radio.
Today we are very proud to present part two of our interview with Sergeant Matthew Tartaglia. Those of you who listened to the last show when he was on know that he was a former sergeant with the U.S. Search and Rescue Task Force K-9 team. He was a high-angle rescue team member. He involved in community emergency response, critical incident stress management. He counseled and debriefed people at the pile at Ground Zero on 9/11. And Matthew, we're very happy to have you back on the show with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's nice to be back and talking with you guys.
We had quite a response to the last show that you were on. That show got very heavily hit by all kinds of people everywhere and different departments of the government even. So I thought I'd let you know that.
Really, a lot of people were listening or checking in, huh?
It was hit pretty hard, and it aroused great interest because people don't get to hear very many rescue workers coming forward and saying the kinds of things that you're saying about the World Trade Center collapses. They don't hear people saying that it looked like a controlled demolition.
Well, it did look like a controlled demolition. If you took everything away from it, any kind of identifying anything like the planes and everything like that, and you showed it to someone who didn't know what it was, and you showed them a building falling over, and you showed them a building being, you know, a controlled demolition, they're going to tell you that that's what the film of the Trade Center was.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing that I most recognize is that whenever I talk to people about 9/11, it's people in the construction business,
mm-hmm.
people that are engineers or in the physics department, or people that are in search and rescue, that they realize not only what it takes to put a building up, but also what it takes to put a building down. And the ones that know about this can see what a controlled demolition is, can't they?
Absolutely. I don't know how you could possibly look at that day and not think to yourself, geez, the day started out with two controlled demolitions. You know what I mean? There's no other way to start saying that day started that way.
Right. Matthew, I know you had access to restricted areas of the World Trade Center. Did you go into the basements or the sub-basements, and what did you see there?
Well, a lot of water, a lot of different.
Like, you know, flooding?
You only can see as far as your headlight will go, number one.
Uh-huh.
And number two, it was really very controlled area. You know, a lot of people thought that was going to cave in. There was a great fear that the wall of dirt separating the land from the water surrounding the Trade Center property would actually break free and all of the water would start coming in from the ocean. I mean, there was a lot of fears about a lot of different things. So on some days you could get more access, on other days you couldn't get so much access. And there was a lot of squabbling over who was allowed to be there and who wasn't. And I understand it to a degree, but, you know, if there's nothing to hide, realistically, any film and all film that was taken from down from the basement should be made available to any person who wants to view it. And I know films were taken. That's how some people were able to see what happened down there. That's how post-planning and what did we learn from this incident scenarios take place in further training. As a matter of fact, if it wasn't for 9/11, and I'm just going to say this straight clear, if it wasn't for 9/11, and the people who lost their lives and people who lost their loved ones and America was turned on its ear, we would not be as equipped today as we are response-wise. I do think we're getting a little crazy, though, on our response. Every day a terror alert.
Uh-huh.
And right.
Barely tell the difference between the police and the military and in their uniforms and their functions. No one's innocent until proven guilty any longer.
Mm-hmm.
No knock warrants. Easier to listen to your phone calls. I mean, it's starting to get a little creepy. And it says to me, hey, you know what? No matter what we do anywhere in the country, in the world, rather, we're going to lose the war on terrorism if America ceases to be
Right.
Right. Now, Matthew.
Where are we now?
Yeah. Well, Matthew, I talk to people that about 9/11 that don't believe that it was a controlled demolition. They don't believe that there was any inside job by the government. And one of the arguments they give is that the World Trade Center towers had a weak construction or this unique construction, and that's why it fell. But the last time you were on this show, you said you've witnessed over 20 controlled demolitions during your tenure in search and rescue. So what can you tell us?
Hold on a minute. Actually, part of that was my earlier life, you know, before search and rescue and during search and rescue.
Okay.
In an area where there was a lot of poverty, and a lot of buildings were taken down for safety purposes.
Okay.
And I'm one of the kids, you know, I was one of the kids that, I was one of the children that ran down the street and looked at the fires and looked at car crashes and, you know, watched the demolitions. And I wanted to go into demolition, as a matter of fact.
Well, my question is, what can you tell us about the World Trade Center Towers construction? And in your opinion, were they a weak structure, and is that why they fell?
No way. They were not weak by any stretch of the imagination. First of all, they held up 110 stories up high. You know what I mean? Hello? Just the fact that it was standing there was a testament to its own strength.
Right.
The fact that we have winters from, you know, 30 degrees above zero to 30 degrees below zero, with winds that are from 30-mile-an-hour to 80-mile-an-hour gusts over the years that those buildings have stood, please, please don't insult my intelligence to tell me that that's a weak structure or unique or anything else. That's ridiculous. The truth of the matter is that every single show about the Trade Center proudly boasts that it could take not one, but multiple plane hits.
Right.
Information is there. HistoryChannel.com. Go find it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, I'm not saying it. You guys, there's a group of us. What saddens me is there's a group of people who are all the same. We all know what's going on. But we need to reach out of our core and tell people around us, look, you know what? I don't know what's going on, but I know that there's enough not right on the surface to mm-hmm. look deeper. And as an American, I am required, you're told on television right now, we expect the public to respond.
Right.
So what? And then George Bush himself said, we need to stock up supplies. We need to get ready for attacks. That means that we're ambassadors of this nation. That means that we have a responsibility to open our eyes, clear out our ears, clean out our heads, shut off the boob tube, think for ourselves, and find out what's going on, and hold people to task. And I'm going to say something that, for the first time in a while, has enlightened my heart. And that was the C-SPAN hearings yesterday, with the people from New Orleans, and they were talking for the House Senate. There are people listening, or you wouldn't get hits on your site.
Right.
You know what I mean? People are paying attention. It's just that they're a little shy at first. They're a little scared because they're used to things rolling a certain way. But that doesn't mean that there's not a fly in the ointment.
Right.
As a matter of fact, if you don't believe me, any person who can hear my voice, you don't believe me, ask any person of the Jewish faith what they believe. Because the people who I talk to people, I don't know if we've ever mentioned this, I've been a minister since 1998 or and have a doctorate in divinity and other studies continuing. And I have to tell you, I speak to a lot of different denominations because it's a universal type of church, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I speak with a lot of Jewish people, and you know what they say to me?
What?
It seems like history is happening over again. It seems like another time, not so distant. We see something we don't understand, and it scares us to the core. I know a family that was out at the World Trade Center's old, you know, the hole. I don't know what to call it anymore. But
yeah.
They were there Saturday, and they said that they saw some people with a big giant banner there and making, you know, just putting their point forward. And they said, we knew that what they were saying was true.
Yeah.
I
that was us. I think that was us.
I think it was, too, from the description of the...
Yeah, let me ask you this. You told me last time we spoke on the phone that you were told by a janitor, not William Rodriguez, someone else, about a strange power outage that occurred in the days prior to 9/11.
Yes.
And the guy said that what struck him was that the emergency power system didn't come on.
Didn't kick in, right.
Tell us a little bit about that.
It was the guy, actually, who had his life had been changed by what he had seen at the towers and what had happened that day, obviously. And he just felt like he wanted to talk to somebody, and with my CISM and, you know, hat on and everything, I guess he felt safe talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just the weirdest weekend because I believe he said Sunday. I know, it could have been Saturday, it could have been Sunday, but I thought he said Sunday. And he said that the power had gone out and that nothing kicked back in. You know, usually if the power goes out, you just stand there for a few seconds and whoop, everything pops back on.
Right.
But no such happening, and that it had been a couple hours, actually, that the power was out. To me, that's very strange.
And that confirms what Scott Forbes from Fiduciary Trust said also about the power down. Now, Matthew, I just forwarded a video today from Vinny Sammartino, a new video, and it shows the rescue workers on the mound at Ground Zero. And they were saying this was 6 weeks after 9/11, and the deeper that they got into this mound, the hotter it got down there. And there's even a photo of like a crane lifting up some debris with some molten metal coming off of it. What type of energy source would be required to produce that much heat that it's still there 6 weeks after 9/11?
I got to tell you, every day got a free shower at least six times a day walking from one end to the other of the pile because it was so hot there that there was a hose on very high up in the air, very, very high up in the air, spraying the core of that heat. And that sucker burned and burned and burned. And the only thing that I could think, and I'm going to be, logical about this. I'm not going to jump to any conclusions, but only one of two things could have happened. Something really serious was underneath there and just kept on burning because it didn't get burned away, and it continued to burn. Or there's a new law to physics.
you know what I mean?
It's like, how do you make a fire out of something that blew up and dropped?
Right.
Yeah.
It should have smothered right out.
Matthew.
But there's people who say they believe that it was C4, and, I know guys who actually cooked coffee with a little chunk of C4, lit it, and actually burned it. So I do know that unburned C4, as long as it's not banged on or something like that, it will burn very hot. So there's a lot of different things it could have been. It could have been C4, it could have been nuclear, there's a lot of stuff it could be. And as sick as I am, and as sick as the folks are that were there, and as sick as the people who live in Manhattan,
right.
I do wonder what was it.
Matthew, we've talked about why more rescue workers aren't coming out and speaking out about 9/11, and you've discussed the looting of an ATM machine by firemen at Ground Zero, and also some forms that you got from FEMA. So address those two things.
Okay. One is the ATM, wow, always a wake-up call. And I have to say this, I am not anti-New York PD, FD. I think everybody did a heroic job.
Yeah.
Save those who didn't do the right thing. And I do believe it's a small amount. As a matter of fact, there is some information that's coming to the surface that it says it may be possible that people actually had uniforms and were using those uniforms to get into areas. Because as more and more investigation goes on, the faces are unidentifiable. I don't know how true that's going to end up turning out to be. But, yes, people dressed as firefighters did break into an ATM machine, and it was decided just to leave it go at the time because of all the problems that it would cause internationally and nationally and the hearts and souls of people.
Okay, so now also the FEMA forms.
Now, the FEMA form is not a FEMA form, actually. It's a Red Cross form.
Okay.
But it also is in concert with
The amount of money.
But you know what I mean.
Yeah, the amount of money they offered was like $10,000.
It's right around there, I guess. It's up to $10,000, yeah. Up to $10,000. So that means you could basically sell your subconscious for...
That's a slap in the face, yeah.
Now, Matthew, I was talking to an old buddy. I've known him for over 20 years now, about 9/11. This was a few nights ago. And he says, well, if this was a controlled demolition, why don't they just get the chunks of steel and you can see where the demolition was, where the bombs or whatever were on them. But I explained to him that the primary motive when certain people went into Ground Zero right after the buildings fell, it wasn't to retrieve evidence. It was to expedite the removal of the evidence.
Well, the way that they got the steel out of there, which I found extremely peculiar at the rate that things were leaving that pile, and it just seemed that only certain things, and it's funny that you should say that now, because now it just did an aha for me, and that is, you know, that makes sense. That stuff was hustled out of there very quickly,
mm-hmm.
and it would... give the telltale signs of blast.
Did you get to examine any of the steel yourself?
I saw steel, but I have to tell you that all of it would be in retrospect. Although I knew when I walked onto the pile something was wrong innately,
uh-huh.
I have to tell you it was so overwhelming that you cannot even imagine that I didn't stop and think to myself, you know, maybe I should take some pictures of this.
Right.
I didn't even really see anything that I could say to you, you know what, guys, I know for a fact I saw this splinter or I saw this particular crack.
Uh-huh.
But there were a lot of... The destruction was complete. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It was very complete. I mean, there was a lot of large pieces, but, you know, a building, two buildings that size, of course there's going to be large pieces. But there was...
Matthew, you've been told by people not to talk about this.
I've been told by people that I'm going to be dead as soon as they can figure out a way to dead me.
Who told you that?
Complete strangers. I've received emails. My days are your days are numbered. Big mouth. I mean, people have tried to let me know. And that says to me only one thing. I must be hitting a nerve. Either that or they don't have enough belief in themselves to check it out.
But it's people familiar to you also, right?
But also people familiar to me. I think this basically kind of shunned. I'm shunned. People think I'm anti-American. I'm not anti-American. I'm pro-American. People think I'm anti-government.
You've been told that
they're... further from the truth.
You've been told that the things you're saying are making them look bad, right?
Yeah. You're making us look stupid. And I'm here to tell you that no matter how much training there is, you still can learn something else. I don't know why anybody should be upset. Listen, and I say this to everybody who's listening, because I know you are listening. Put your ego away. Straighten up, open your ears, open your eyes, train better, and admit the truth to yourself, and you'll have a much better life. Don't look at my life. Look at your own life.
Yeah. Right. Now, Matthew, when we were at Ground Zero for the fourth anniversary of 9/11, there were a lot of firefighters there. There were a lot of police officers there. And from my perspective, anyways, it didn't seem like they had, by and large, a lot of animosity towards us when we were holding this 14-foot banner that said about the World Trade Center controlled demolition.
Right.
It's almost as if they were glad that someone's finally telling the truth, even though they themselves can't. What are your thoughts?
I think you said it exactly the way that it is. I think that you said it exactly the way that it is, because I'm going to tell you something. It's kind of scary being a majority of two or three. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
tell us
I
about
mean,
it.
Right? You have a job. You're kind of protected in a way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I am on my own. I am very much on my own. And there's only a couple people, and they're scared. So somebody, that means that I have to talk. I have to, because if, I don't know about you, but if I was on the Titanic,
right,
there wouldn't be any empty boats rowing to shore, you know what I mean?
You know, Matthew, when we were at Ground Zero on 9/11 this year, it was very, very intense for us, but I would think that if the firemen or the policemen there had a serious problem with what we were saying, they would have shown more animosity.
They would have come right up to you and said, I don't like what you're doing. Your freedom of speech. I mean, I want to say something. I am not in any way, shape, or form anti-New York Fire Department, anti-Red Cross. I'm not anti-anybody except for anti-wrong.
That's right.
I love the people that I work beside. I love the people I work with in my own state. I love people who came from all over the world, literally all over the world. I have badges, little badges and stuff from, you know, departments that I worked with, from the Royal Mounted Canadian Police, the Canadian Royal Police. I can't even say their name right now.
Yeah.
And I'm pro Port Authority. I'm pro all these people. I'm just not pro liar. I'm not pro stick your head in the sand. I'm not pro pay it off with money. I'm not pro anti-American.
Well, I think that, you know, hopefully more of them will start thinking about things, and as they listen to your words, at some point will make a decision within themselves to do the right thing, because there's really no amount of money that can compensate for selling your soul.
Yeah. And Matthew,
let me ask you a question. You know, this is something I wrote down. You know, right now, we had these no-knock warrants, and there's no innocent until proven guilty, and all this other stuff in the fight on terrorism. You know, we're treating Osama bin Laden like he's something more than just a punk criminal. That's all he is a punk. And he should be arrested and marched down the street in orange, in shackles, so he can understand what it's about. But I say this.
Well, we don't even think he's really involved.
Pre-exists. Please, let me just say this. Because it's so heavy on my soul. The reason that we're being lied to, the reason that we're being tricked, the reason that all the BS exists, because we are powerful people. We are strong people. We're patriotic to the core. Even when we're not so sure of what we're doing, we are patriotic. I'm saying the reason that they're doing, people are trying to pull the wool over our eyes, is because we're much more powerful than we ourselves understand.
Yeah, and you know, when you were talking about Osama bin Laden being marched down the street, well, he should be marched down as a patsy or just as some kind of co-conspirator. The real ones that should be marched down the street.
Well, sure, everybody involved should be in orange and shackles.
These people, these private contractors and these people within the cabal in our government should not only be...
I don't care who they are. If you're part of this, you have spilled blood of all people.
And people from all over the world.
And all over the world, this is supposed to be the greatest country in the world, and I believe it still can be, and is. But I'll be damned if I'll stand by and say nothing.
Likewise.
Same here, Matthew. Matthew, we thank you very much. We know that you're not well, and we appreciate you taking the time to talk about this with us, and have a great Christmas to you and your family.
Have an awesome Christmas to you.
Thank you.
Thank you for what you're doing, and last but not least, I do plead with everybody to realize that yesterday's oppression has to be forgiven so we can overcome the current oppression that envelopes us all.
Yeah.
Please, can we just let go of yesterday and let's work on today? Please, people, please, I beg you.
And I know, Matthew, that when we say that you're a hero, I'm sure it embarrasses you because you don't try to... You know,
well,
you don't try to just...
He's a very humble guy.
Yeah, but we mean it from our heart and soul. And for you to come out here and talk about the things you talk about, you truly are a hero. So
Matthew,
we just want to thank you again.
You are a hero. Never, ever doubt it.
And we'll be back tomorrow on Wing TV. I don't even know what we're going to talk about tomorrow, but we're going to. Until then, think about the things that Matthew has said and keep your eyes open because there is a lot going on.
Thanks again. See you tomorrow.